greeted you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we're welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from back in Maryland, a place called Annapolis, Maryland, or Pasadena, I guess it is. We've got Pastor David Whitney. Pastor David Whitney, thank you so much for being with us.
Good afternoon, Dr. Stan. It's always a privilege to be with you and your listening audience who cares about their country enough to be concerned about the issues that we talk about on your show.
Well, let's get to it now. Of course, Pastor David Whitney is with the Institute of the Constitution, and every month why he's here, back here once again, talking about this amazing document that separates America from any other country in the world. And, you know, for 150 years, America was the envy of the world. We had rights here. We didn't have to have papers wherever we went. We didn't have the government monitoring everything that we did. We didn't have video cameras on every corner. In fact, the government had very little to do with the individual. And that's what liberty was about. It was about the limitation on the power of the central government. And 50 years ago, everybody knew America was a republic. But the evil people controlling the media, controlling the educational system, controlling the government, kept talking about democracy, democracy, democracy. And that way the government can do whatever it wants to. After all, we democratically elect our representatives, and then, of course, they can do whatever they want to, take us into wars. Certainly they do what they're doing today, and that is cutting taxes and increasing spending and destroying the value of our currency. And, of course, that's a hidden tax. Inflation is a hidden tax. And if you believe that we have a 2% inflation, why, you probably believe that that we went to war over in Iraq because, well, we knew Saddam Hussein was going to attack America any day, and we had to strike him before he attacked New York City, or was it San Francisco? Well, be that as it may, we have a wonderful document. We've got to get people to understand what the Constitution really says, the foundation of our freedom. So with that as a background, David, pick up the story.
Yes, we've talked about the Bill of Rights, which, as we've expressed very clearly, set a hedge, or a wall is a better picture, around the federal government, saying what the federal government was only permitted to do was what was inside those walls created by the first ten amendments, which are known as the Bill of Rights. Now, we've talked about subsequent to those ten amendments, most of those amendments, 11 through 27, most of them have in one way weakened that wall, in some cases destroyed portions of the wall, releasing the federal government to do, like you said, almost whatever it chooses to do. And so we've studied a number of those amendments to understand what has taken place, the change that has taken place in our land. Of course, we talked a good deal about what took place during the era of the war between the states and Reconstruction with the 13th, 14th, and 15th, the great destroyers there. And then, of course, the 16th and 17th Amendment in the beginning of the 20th century, again, destroying the design our founding fathers had given to us. And that leads us up to the 18th Amendment that was actually ratified in 1919, and it's the Prohibition Amendment. And oftentimes people sort of lightly skip over this amendment because, after all, it was repealed a little while later. But it's important to notice what this amendment was about and what the people in our country understood at the time this amendment was ratified. It said that the prohibition of alcohol manufacture and transportation in the United States was going to be not permitted, and this was a lead-up from a long battle that had been fought. The prohibition forces had been working for a long time to bring it to the federal level, and they finally achieved their aim. Now, the interesting thing about this, I disagree with the prohibition. It should never be on the federal level. The federal government has no business being involved in regulating alcohol. If it is to be regulated anywhere, it's the business of the states, or maybe even on a smaller locality than that. You know, a town may choose to be dry and not allow alcohol to be sold within its district. I know of a town in New Jersey on the beach that still does that to this day. And there are scattered towns around the country. That's fine on that level, and it's fine also on the state level for the state to determine that it wants to regulate the sale of alcohol. I know in Pennsylvania, just to the north of here, the only place you could purchase alcohol within the state of Pennsylvania is in a state store. That is a store for selling alcohol that is strictly regulated by the state of Pennsylvania.
Hold that thought for just a moment. I want to introduce to our listeners Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And Pastor Whitney is with us every month as we go into the background of the founding document of this country, the document that at one time separated us from all other countries when we were adhering to it, when we did not have men who were dedicated to the destruction of America and centralizing all power in Washington, D.C., and, of course, depriving us of our freedom. But the Constitution is still the law of this land, and that's what we must cling to, and we must get people to understand it. It doesn't matter what the politicians have done. It doesn't matter what the judges have done who have violated their oath of office. They have all sworn to uphold the Constitution. And, of course, they're not doing it. And the fact that the public is not up in arms and the church is not up in arms and the Christians aren't up in arms reflects the fact that they're not being taught. So go ahead, David, and explain the background, certainly, first of all, of the Bill of Rights, and then, of course, the subsequent amendments, many of which began to undermine the very foundations of our Constitution.
So this amendment, I disagree with. I think it's wrong for the federal government to be involved in controlling alcohol in the several states.
And what amendment was that?
This is the 18th Amendment.
18th Amendment,
about,
okay.
Ratified in 1919. And yet the interesting thing about this amendment is it reveals a mindset at this time in the history of America. That is, that the people of America understood in the early 20th century, at least by 1919, they understood that the federal government did not have permission to regulate alcohol throughout the states. They knew it did not have permission to do that. Nowhere in the Constitution was such permission granted. Nowhere in the Bill of Rights was such permission granted. And they therefore knew the only way the federal government could actually control and regulate alcohol. Three-quarters of the state ratified.
Hold that thought right there. All right, fine. And so Pastor Whitney is talking about the only way that we could change our structure of government was with the process of amendment. And following the First World War, many, many people were very disillusioned with everything. And so there was an organized effort to pass the 18th Amendment to outlaw the sale of alcohol in the United States. So pick up the story from there.
And so while I disagree with the amendment, I appreciate the fact that Americans at that time understood the federal government had restrictions and limitations on what it could do, and it could not regulate alcohol without changing the Constitution by the process of amendment. And so basically you could say prohibition was a war on alcohol, and the 18th Amendment changed the powers granted to the federal government and permitted the federal government to conduct a war on alcohol in our country. And actually, Section 2 of the amendment says Congress and the several states shall have concurrent power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
And, of course, then we had the G-Men coming out, and had the organized federal task force to put down alcohol. And, of course, people wanted to drink. They'd always find a means of doing it. Now you begin moving towards a police state with ever-increasing federal powers. And, of course, what was happening? You were getting an increased state of lawlessness. And of course, when you, of course, make alcohol illegal, then the people who smuggle alcohol can make a lot of money. And so you had your gangs, and you had your Al Capones and the others all involved in the illegal activity, which had been made illegal by amending the Constitution. So pick up the story, David.
And so they actually, there's a good debate about whether they actually enforced it fairly. In other words, they went after many of the moonshiners in the backwoods in Kentucky and West Virginia, those sort of things. Oh, yeah, the revenuers went after them, but they didn't go after Joe Kennedy and his ilk that made millions upon millions. Their fortunes were often made during that Prohibition era. Trafficking in what was, quote, illegal alcohol at that point in time. But the thing that I'd like your listeners to remember is Americans understood they can only have a war on alcohol on the federal level if we give the federal government permission to do so. The sad thing, since 1919, Americans have lost their understanding of the Constitution, or they've never been taught it, or they've been taught a series of lies about our Constitution, and the result is our federal government has conducted a whole series of such wars, like this war on alcohol, without ever amending the Constitution, without ever coming to the American people saying, you know, this is a good thing, we want to do this thing, we know the Constitution does not permit us to do this thing, therefore, let's go through an amendment process, the proper, legitimate, and legal way to give the federal government powers that it does not have.
And of
course, we have a war on drugs, and a war on terror, and a war on poverty, and all these things are completely unconstitutional, and yet they're done without altering or amending the Constitution.
And don't forget, we have a war on cancer, we've got more cancer. We have a war on drugs, we have more drug use. We have a war on poverty, and we have more poverty. And all of these wars get a counter-reaction. And of course, the American people do not understand. This is all unconstitutional. They understood this back in 1918 and 1919. But the limitations that are placed on the federal government by our Constitution are not understood by the vast majority of people in America today, because this has simply been taken out of our schools, it's been taken out of our universities, and our politicians violate their oath of office, and the judges violate their oath of office with no threat at all of reprisal or incrimination for their violating, of course, the very laws of the land that they're supposed to uphold.
And our people in this country are ignorant of the Constitution and therefore are unable to hold our elected officials accountable. And that's exactly why Institute on the Constitution was founded, to teach people the fundamental principles as well as the details and a working knowledge of the Constitution. And if that was the case today, there should be an outcry from one end of the land to the other about all of these unconstitutional powers that have been grabbed by the federal government. In other words, if you have a contract that you form with any company, you know, and you agree to these terms, say you're borrowing money from them, you agree to 10%, and it's written in paper, it's signed by both people, it's all notarized, legalized, etc., it's there. And then the next month they say, you know, we have a living, breathing contract with you. Did you know that? This contract you signed is a living, breathing contract, and therefore we're going to make it 20% next month. And the month after that, 30%. We're going to do whatever we please. You would be outraged because you had a contract, and that contract was violated. You'd be dragging them to court to get justice done instead of the abuse that you had experienced. Well, the American people have a contract with our federal government as well as our state governments, but the federal government contract is our U.S. Constitution and its amendments and its Bill of Rights. And if that is violated by the federal government, we should be outraged that they have broken their contract with us. The lawmakers have become the law breakers, and we have got to hold them accountable to their violation of the terms of this contract, which all these unconstitutional wars are but an example of. And the 18th Amendment, although a bad amendment, illustrates that people at that time and place knew what the Constitution was about, and they were holding their federal officials accountable to the terms of that contract. Now, that phrase in Section 2 of this amendment, that Congress shall have concurrent power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation, is basically a blank check to allow Congress to do whatever it deems necessary to have this war on alcohol. Kind of reminds us of things like the Patriot Act, where basically a carte blanche is given to the federal government. You can spy on people's email, you can tap their phones, you can do all these things illegal before the Patriot Act, and by the way, illegal according to the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution, but you can do all these illegal things because we, the lawbreakers, the lawmakers, have just passed such a law.
Well, and I think
American people should be outraged.
I think the difference is that certainly the 18th Amendment amended the Constitution so that even though we may not agree with the war on alcohol, that was a perfectly legal thing to do. And then, of course, it was repealed because of the overwhelming opposition to all the problems that it created. What they have done with the Patriot Act and so much of the other legislation is not to amend the Constitution, it's to violate the law. And of course, with they could only get by with the complicity of the courts. And then we have, of course, Tom DeLake standing up recently and criticizing the courts. And rather than address his concerns, they attack, of course, Tom DeLake. And I'm not defending some of the things that he's done. They sound like they've been pretty bad. But the issue is not Tom DeLake. The issue is the issue that he raised. And they don't want to talk about the corruption with the courts. They want to talk about Tom DeLake, paying his wife and his son large sums of money, which he never should have done. And then, of course, the conservatives justify it because Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein do the same thing. And pox on all of them. The issue is not whether we have corrupt politicians in both political parties. The issue is, which Tom DeLake dared to raise, is do we have judges who are doing things that are unconstitutional? And that is the one thing the establishment does not want to have brought out. So let's get back to the 18th Amendment, because this was so important that people understood that you had to amend the Constitution first to bring in a prohibition and then to do away with the prohibition. You couldn't do it simply with an executive order or with an autocratic president who said, well, this is the way it's going to be. I don't care. It's up to me and I will make the decisions. You can't do that sort of thing.
Right. And so I'm glad you brought up the fact that it was repealed in 1933. And the interesting thing about it being repealed is that it set a precedent. It proved a principle that was implicit in the Constitution, but had never been tested before in reality. That is, if an amendment is bad to the Constitution, that amendment is not permanent, that it can be repealed. And so the fact that the 18th Amendment has been repealed by the 21st Amendment leaves us open to say that there are other amendments that can be repealed because the precedent has been set. We mentioned, I think, in the last month, we commend former Senator Zell Miller for calling on the Senate floor for the repeal of the 17th Amendment, which had senators popularly elected rather than appointed by their state legislatures. And in that last program, we discussed how important that issue was and what a loss that was to our constitutional republic.
But you know what's so interesting, David? They have, of course, demonized and ridiculed Senator Zell Miller on Saturday Night Live and elsewhere. And, of course, they have parodies of him, and he looks just like such a ranting and raving individual. And yet what he says is absolutely true. So anybody who speaks the truth, you can be sure the controlled media is going to demonize them, is going to criticize them, is going, of course, to make them look totally ridiculous. And that's how the media discredits anybody who tries to speak up for America and our constitutional principles.
And so not only could the 17th Amendment be repealed, but the 16th Amendment, and I could think of a bunch of other amendments, the 14th and 15th are, there's a bunch of amendments that are problematic at best, and perhaps we would be better without them. And so it could, if there's a groundswell here of Americans who learn their Constitution and understand the amendment process Article 5 details how amendment process takes place, we could go back and undo all the damage done to our constitutional republic by those evildoers in what they have done. The sad thing, however, about the repeal of the 21st Amendment repealing the 18th Amendment is, although the amendment was repealed and the power basically was taken from the federal government and returned to the states, so to speak, the bureaucracy that the federal government set up to enforce that amendment while the 18th Amendment was still active, that bureaucracy is still in place. Now you're wondering, well, how does that happen? The people give the power to the federal government. It creates a bureaucracy based upon that power granted. The people take away that power granted to the federal government, but the bureaucracy that was to enforce that 18th Amendment continues to this day as part of the Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, and Tobacco, an extremely evil and out-of-control bureaucracy of our federal government.
What do they say about the closest thing to eternal life on this earth is a government bureaucracy? We're going to be back here in just a few minutes with Pastor David Witness and understand what Thomas Paine had said. He said all societies are good, but government, even at its best, is a necessary evil. And our founding fathers realized that power tends to corrupt. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. You have to restrict the power of government if there's going to be freedom. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaur's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaur's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. 4,000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Have you ever wondered whether you're good? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Pastor David Whitney. We're talking about the most amazing document in the world, the American Constitution, which is not taught in our schools. Most people think we're a democracy. They don't understand that we are a republic where we limit the power of the federal government. At least we were before the fascist element seized control of our foundations and our corporations and our educational system. Yes, in our government. And, of course, deprived the youth of our nation for several generations of an understanding the fact that liberty and limited government are synonymous. Go ahead, David.
when we follow the 18th Amendment, the next 19th Amendment occurred the following year, 1920, and this is the what's called the Women's Suffrage Amendment, giving the right to vote to women in these United States, and this was already the case in some states. And of course, this actually went hand in hand with Prohibition, because the leaders of the Prohibition movement were also, by and large, leaders in the movement to bring the vote to women. And one of their greatest arguments was that, you know, politics is such a corrupt business, and, you know, so much evil takes place in regard to all this, that if women were permitted to vote, they would clean up the entire country. You know, the place would be unrecognizable from comparison beforehand, and that's quite odd to actually look at the historic fact. As soon as the women had the right to vote, what happened? Well, World War II followed shortly thereafter, and, you know, a series of wars, and the bloodiest century that the world, as far as we know on historic record, the bloodiest century commenced. So the argument that giving women the right to vote was going to somehow clean up the political scene is really a mockery, and I don't know whether the people who actually proposed that understood that or not. But I object to this amendment on a different grounds, and I know I'll be criticized soundly by a bunch of people for saying this. But you see, if you understand the jurisdictions that God established in His Word, there are four human governments. There is self-government, there is family government, which outside of self-government was the very first institution that God created, an institution terribly under attack all over these United States today. And the third institution God created, the third form of government, is church government. And then the fourth government that God created was civil government. What we normally think of when we say government is just that final one, just the fourth one. But God created each of those with separate jurisdictions, that the family government was not to interfere, and its boundaries were clearly defined not to interfere with the church government and vice versa, and likewise with the civil government. But what this did in giving women the franchise of the precious vote is it reduced what should be structured as God designed for the family. Actually, it invaded that jurisdiction that God created for the family, where the father, as the federal head of the family, and the Bible clearly expresses this in places like Ephesians 5 and Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the idea is that the father is the representative. The husband is the representative. He's the head of the wife. He is the one that represents the family in the civil government. And therefore, it was very appropriate for our founding fathers to structure a limited franchise for the vote to be the men of the household, the men of that age, who were the leaders of their household and therefore represented their household. Now, we have the 19th Amendment basically attacking that design that our founding fathers understood, that was part of the beginning attack upon the family, as we know that the women's movement then morphed further into the feminist movement, which is an outright attack upon everything that's sacred and holy, and definitely an attack upon the family. But people say, well, you know, is it a little odd to even talk about such things? Well, I'd bring up an example of a friend I know, and that they are on opposite sides of all the major decisions, and when they go into the polls, they vote the opposite party. And so in that household, their votes cancel each other out. In effect, their votes nullify one another because of this amendment, and they take what should be the headship of the husband over the wife, the headship of the father for the family, they take that headship away, and they nullify it by what I believe is an unjust and unbiblical restructuring of our constitutional republic.
But of course, it is the law of the land. It was done. It was a legitimate amendment. They certainly amended it properly, unlike the 16th and 17th amendments. But so we won't solve that issue right at the present time. But when we get back here in just a few minutes, Hawaii will welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295.
if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Truth in the medium. Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney. And, of course, through the months, through the years, we've gradually gone through the Constitution, trying to educate listeners about the most wonderful document ever conceived of by man. So pick up the story there, David.
So we go from the 19th Amendment, 1920, and the 20th Amendment, ratified in 1933, dealt with presidential succession. And due to improved communication and improved transportation, the change here was that the president and vice president take office on January 20th instead of March 4th. The improved transportation and communication made the earlier date feasible and also reduced the opportunities for lame duck presidents and congressmen to exert last-minute influence, which was a problem in that day, and as we saw with the ending of the Clinton era, was a tremendous problem there as well, even though, you know, now it is January 20th. We can imagine the mischief and damage he would have done if it was already all the way down to March 4th. So it changed presidential succession again, and when we look at the next amendment that deals with presidential succession, we'll talk about, you know, basically where that stands today if the president dies, and that'll be when we talk about the 25th Amendment. So that's the 20th Amendment, and that same year, the 21st Amendment, which was the repeal of Prohibition, took place. And then we have a period of quiet for a few years in the process of amending the Constitution. Nothing was amended until 1951. And in 1951, the 22nd Amendment was inaugurated or ratified, and it placed into reality what had been just a tradition. You see, back when the Constitutional Convention met, there was a discussion about limiting the president to two terms of 4 years each. And there was a pretty sound agreement to do so, except that in the process of voting on various issues, and particularly that issue, the delegates noted that George Washington, who everyone expected to be the first president, George Washington voted against that two-term limit for president. And everyone then dropped the idea of a two-term limit and just shelved it and never made it part of the Constitution. However, it became a tradition after President George Washington himself, after two terms, said that was enough. That was enough for any man to go through, and was glad to leave public life for some peace and quiet in Mount Vernon. And so the tradition that President Washington started, although never written down, never codified in any formal sense, was followed by all the presidents to the White House, with the exception of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of the worst presidents we have ever had in our nation. As you know, he was not committed to the Constitution. He was more committed to the Communist Manifesto, and I could give you a long list of the evils that Franklin Delano Roosevelt did. His New Deal was really a terrible, bad deal, unconstitutional from start to finish, trying to pack the Supreme Court to get his evil plan in, and it just goes on and on. He was one of the most unconstitutional presidents we have had, and he broke this tradition of two-term limits, and he actually ran for four terms, fortunately, I guess you could say, for the state of our nation and the Constitution. He died within a few weeks of his fourth term, and at that point, Americans woke up to the reality that, you know, we need more than just a tradition here. We actually need an amendment that states the term for the president is limited to two terms and no more. And this is one of the few amendments I have no problem with. I think it is a good addition. Actually, it was something, as we said, that our founding fathers discussed in the Constitutional Convention itself, and was a definitely a good idea, ratified in 1951. And then moving from that to the 23rd Amendment in 1961, 10 years later, the District of Columbia received electors equal to the number of electors from the least populous state. The way electors are the number of electors are assigned to each state in the Union is like this. The number of senators and the number of congressmen they have is the number of electors they have. And so take a very thinly populated state like, say, Alaska, and it has two senators, but only one congressman because the population is so thin, so they have at least three electors, and so three electors were given to the District of Columbia.
Now, for our listeners, of course, those would be electors for the president when they have the Electoral College. Would that be
right.
correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
So it only is to do with the election of the president, and Washington, D.C. still has no voting representatives in Congress nor in the Senate because it is not a state. In fact, this 23rd Amendment, although ratified and now is part of our law, is actually the opposite of what was designed by our founding fathers. Our founding fathers said the federal government was to have control over the District of Columbia and control over forts and magazines and other things necessary for the Navy and for the Army, but the federal government was not to have vast control over properties all over the United States.
In fact, it really wasn't supposed to have any control over the individual. That was to be limited
right.
to the states and the people. That was really the secret of our freedom. The only people that they could control were the people in Washington, D.C., this 10-square-mile area. And they were to have absolute control there. Well, right today, why Washington, D.C. is the murder capital of the world, and if our congressmen can't solve the problems of Washington, D.C., as far as education, as far as crime, as far as murder, why should we think that they could solve the problems out here where I live or any other place in the country? If they can't even govern well 10 squares areas, why should we give them power to control everything else? And yet they're taking that, and nobody's speaking out.
That's right. And so the design was that Washington, D.C. was not to be a city that was politically charged, that there would not be an effect of those who, if they chose to live within the district, they would not have a political voice in what happened in the nation's capital. That was the design. And so if you really wanted to have a say, you'd move to Maryland or Virginia and you'd commute into Washington, D.C. And as a matter of fact, early on, Washington, D.C., because the Congress and the Senate only met for part of the year and then the people returned to their home states for the rest of the year, it was just a part-time job, actually, to be a senator or a congressman, that there was very little long-term residence within the city itself. It was not designed to be a residential city. And so The Washingtonians of our day complain. As a matter of fact, they have it on their license plates for the city of Washington, D.C., taxation without representation. Well, that was by design. And if they don't like it, they ought to move out of the city of Washington, D.C., to Virginia or Maryland or wherever they choose. But our founding fathers had wisdom here, and that wisdom has been abrogated by the 23rd Amendment, as well as by all the things that the federal government now has control over the national parks and the national forests. Vast acreage, millions and millions of acres, states out west where 90-some percent of the land is controlled by the federal government. And the people of that state have no say, people of Alaska, have no say about what happens of the oil that is under their state, that is basically, you could say, the property of their state. The federal government claims it is in control of that resource, and it basically says we own it. Well, that was never the design of our founding fathers, that the federal government would ever claim control or ownership of a state. No, that's none of their business. The whole breakdown that's taken place in our nation is that the restrictions placed upon our federal government by our founding fathers, that wall built around it, the Constitution defining what they could do, the Bill of Rights basically defining what they could not do, that wall has been breached and broken time and time again. But it could be repaired, Dr. Stan. We could rebuild that wall, but it will take millions of Americans who understand these principles, educating themselves, and then taking action and holding their elected officials accountable. And as I said earlier, that's why Institute on the Constitution was founded. We offer a host kit that makes it simple for anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to actually communicate these truths about our Constitution. Actually, you're not teaching it, you're just hosting it. Dr. John Eidsmo, in 12 half-hour lectures, does an excellent job explaining the Christian history and heritage, explaining a working knowledge of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration. And we have a student notebook that gives a detailed outline of each of those lectures, questions at the end that we give the host the answers to, so the host can guide the class through what they have learned to be sure that they understand it. And all of that's packaged together with two additional video lectures by David Barton. And that whole host kit, we encourage Americans everywhere to get this, to conduct it in their churches, to conduct it in their community centers, and even in their just in their own home, to educate as many people as they can reach. And people can call us toll-free to order the host kit at 1-866-730-9796. That's 1-866-730-9796. Or they can actually go to our website, and our website is IOTConline, all one word, IOTConline.com. And as people do this, and I was just talking with someone today out there in the high desert near Death Valley of California, who's actively teaching the class, graduating another class next month, and just sees a growing movement in his area of people who, now that they understand the Constitution, they know the standard by which they are to hold their elected officials accountable. And they can begin to take their congressional district back from those who would violate and destroy our constitutional republic. And we are encouraged to see that happening all over the country. Right now there's like 47 different states in which at least one class is being hosted, and people are being trained in these principles and thereby equipped to fulfill their function as citizens in these United States.
Well, I think it really is exciting. I was just thinking, as you were talking about, of course, what goes on in Washington, D.C., all those words of Will Rogers, the sort of hometown philosopher, who said, you know, no man's life or property are safe when the Congress is in session. So basically what originally Congress only met, maybe a few months out of the year, and then they went home. They couldn't do all the damage. It was a certain Congressman Ron Paul who said that the day that Congress does most for the American people is the day of the Democrat-Republican baseball game, where all the members of Congress go out and watch the baseball game. These people are back there passing legislation most of them have never read, legislation that will be enacted by a bureaucracy and expanded by a bureaucracy, and most of the congressmen really have no idea what's going on. They keep them so busy. And what they've done is massively expand the power of government over the lives of the people. And this is the pathway to tyranny. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Go right ahead.
And as we step from the 23rd Amendment to the 24th Amendment, we remember perhaps the most notable events taking place during the 1960s, and this amendment was ratified in 1964, was the Civil Rights Movement. And basically, this is a poll tax amendment. That is, it eliminates poll taxes where they were used throughout the United States to cover the cost of the election and sometimes to support other worthwhile projects. And the argument here was that these poll taxes, which are usually very minimal, a dollar or two, that these were used to deny people the right to vote, and that this amendment was a good thing because it eliminated them. The problem is that what we have going on in our land is, as the expansion of the franchise takes place, and by the franchise I mean those who are given the duty or the responsibility and the honor of voting, as that is expanded, it's also watered down, and actually vote fraud has become a commonplace thing across our country, where there's, here in Maryland, just one example, we've gone to this electronic voting where there's no paper trail any longer, and they never ask you for your identification whatsoever. When you walk in, you just sign your name. So there's very little control over who actually votes, and the old phrase is, well, vote early and vote often.
Well, that's because somebody...
Vote corruption has been a result. The poll tax was part of controlling to be certain that only those who were legally able to vote actually did vote.
Well, of course, there's an old saying, it doesn't matter how you vote, just vote. Be sure to vote. And I would say, you know, today it's not, it doesn't matter how you vote, but who counts the votes. And when this is done by electronic machines, and of course, they won't let anybody check to see what they're, how this whole thing is programmed, because they say, well, that would, of course, get into our privacy, you know, that has to do with commercial privacy. I think we have tremendous vote fraud in America, and I don't think the average person really understands it's all a mirage. Until we get back to a paper ballot, to an accountable voting system, why, we will continue having the, what we have today, where, of course, whoever counts the votes determines who the people are elected. And isn't it amazing that, of course, for instance, in the state of Ohio, that the man who was in charge of that whole thing, the whole voting system, just happened to be the campaign chairman for the President Bush. Now, you would have think that somebody would have thought that was a conflict of interest. But I doubt that most people here across America ever realized that the man who was responsible for counting the votes to make sure it was an honest election was the campaign chairman for one of the candidates. Maybe that's why, in one region with 800 votes, why the machine came up with 4,000 votes for George Bush. And this was not an isolated incident. Of course, the reason that John Kerry didn't bother to challenge this is because John Kerry and George Bush both came from the same little secret society known as Skull and Bones, which, of course, originated with the secret society in Bavaria in 1832 that you can trace back to all the secret societies of Europe, working towards the one world government and the new world religion. So pick up the story, David. We've only got about 3 minutes to go.
So this poll tax is an issue I disagree with. I think it's a bad amendment, because what it did is, again, federalized. Whenever an amendment is created, and this is my debate about the Federal Marriage Amendment, whenever you create an amendment, you bring more power to the federal government. Well, this gave the federal government power of oversight through the bureaucracy eventually here of the Federal Election Commission to control what happened in the states. Again, you get the nose of the big camel from Washington, D.C., stuck into the doorway of the tent, and before you know it, the entire camel has come into and is now controlling the tent, driving the people out of the tent who were in there in the first place. So instead of the elections being controlled on the local level, where local accountability could take place on either a county level or a state level, and the lower the accountability, the closer it is to the people, the greater assurance that there would not be fraud, because you couldn't pull off fraud if the control was at county level all over, or congressional district level all over the country. You couldn't pull off fraud easily. But you centralize all power of control of regulating the elections in the Federal Election Commission, and my goodness, you can pull off all kinds of fraud on a national level. And as you say, we have plenty of evidence of this taking place. Well, in order to turn back vote fraud, we've got to put people into positions of power who understand the issues of what our founding fathers structured and who are committed, no matter what the cost is politically, they are committed to returning us to the constitutional republic as intended by our founding fathers. And again, that's why we're so passionate here at Institute on the Constitution, to spread the word, primarily through having people host an Institute on the Constitution. And Dr. Stan, I'd encourage your listeners to get a hold of the host kit. They can call us toll-free at 1-866-730-9796. Let me repeat that. Our toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796.
And
or
help.
They can go to the website as well, iotconline.com.
Thanks very much for being with us. And remember, there's no way to preserve our society if you don't understand the Constitution and the source of our freedom. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is
the cover-up
in Oklahoma City. It's really consistent. Film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just, of course, mention it's so vitally important that you are well-educated so you can begin to reach other people. I'm putting together a talk I'm going to be giving in Southern California on the 4th and 5th of May, and we do hope, if any of you are living in Southern California, know people there, that you'll invite them to come to that talk. But the first talk is going to be on water fluoridation. What do you really know about this program that began some 55 years ago? And today, 55 years later, cancer is skyrocketing. Heart disease is skyrocketing. We have 1 in every 5 children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality or a behavioral disorder. Could this have anything to do with water fluoridation and with, of course, vaccination? I would like to suggest it does. And if you've not heard our 4-tape sets, and we have 2 of them on fluoride, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. It may be your child next. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time I want to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you are concerned about what's happening to America, if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, which is how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day, by radio and by satellite and by internet, and 4 hours every day on shortwave, why, seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is reach out across America with the truth that you're not going to get from elsewhere. And, of course, not only across America, but by the miracle of shortwave and internet, we have listeners in every continent in the world. So Then, of course, we hope that many of you will probably want to get some of my material. Certainly to understand the spiritual nature of the battle, the book Brotherhood of Darkness, you can get by itself with a video or an audio tape, or get all of them together as the Brotherhood of Darkness special. To understand the war in Iraq, you need to get my video, Iraq, the Untold Story. And you can get that by itself, or you can get it with a syllabus that has all the documentation for everything we point out, including the fact that the dropping of the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were totally unnecessary because the Japanese had been trying to surrender for almost 6 months, and we wouldn't let them. Why? Because they wanted as much carnage and horror as possible. And, of course, that's the way it is today. Why do you think that all the torture going on over in Iraq, why do you think the torture at Guantanamo? Because we're seeing organized evil, and unfortunately, it's working at the upper echelons of our government. And when our leaders say why we wouldn't condone that, my goodness, we just put in the man, into Attorney General Antonio, whatever his name, Gonzalez, I think it is. Anyway, he was the man who authorized the torture there. So, how can you say, Alberto Gonzalez, how can you say you don't believe in this, it's a terrible thing, and you put the man who authorized it in as Attorney General? We've got real problems in America. And unless the people here care about freedom, why, we're going to lose America. You know, freedom once lost will never, never be regained. So get informed. Get our video, Iraq, the Untold Story. Get the syllabus that goes with that. And then, of course, you will certainly want to get my new video. It's called Nundare Call It Genocide. It goes into the background of what they're really doing with the fluoride and the mercury and the aspartame, and all of these things that they're using on our young people today. So again, our number to call is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, where you can pull down our programs, and you can listen to them 5 hours a day, either on Radio Liberty or on the affiliated networks we're on. You can listen to the archive programs. You can pull down my newsletters. You may want to look in there. We do carry the Berkey products, and if you buy the Berkey products through us, you'll get and I'm talking now specifically about the big Berkey, the Berkey Light, and you'll get a four-tape set, or you'll get a video that we have produced. And then if you'd like to get a free copy of one of our newsletters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know about fluoride, that's November and December. If you want to know about how the world really runs, why you want to get Confessions of an Economic Hitman, because Mr. Perkins was part of the insiders that really ran the world. And, of course, we have a four-tape set, Economic Hitman, or the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman, my February newsletter, and you can get a free copy of any of these by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. February had to do with the history of wars and how they're all manipulated. And then, of course, lastly, we hope many of you want to subscribe to the newsletter and help us as we reach out across America trying to educate the American people. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for liberty, for our provision and our protection. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.